is the Presentation Podcast, Season 7, Episode 162. No, no, and no. That is what Troy, Nolan, and Sandy talk about. Inspired by Nancy Duarte's comment at the Presentation Summit about specialization, learn what our hosts say no to when presented design projects.
I'm Troy Collar from TLC Creative Services, based in Southern California.
Welcome to the Presentation Podcast. I'm Sandy Johnson with Presentation Wiz in Minneapolis, Minnesota.
And I'm Nolan Hames from Nolan Hames Creative in Montclair, New Jersey, where it is definitely fall and the leaves are falling.
That is awesome. On recent travels, I've gotten to see fall colors. Obviously, living in Southern California, this is the time of year where it turns green and lush out here because some rain happens instead of our four tones of brown. Hey, let's talk about what's happening. I mean, I'm assuming you and everybody listening, it's just so much amazing presentation work as the, you know, the year kind of gets, well, we get towards the end of the year. We just finished a large meeting, large automotive company, big meeting, ultra wide LED wall, just so much amazing. I mean, it was kind of one of those ones where it was as much Photoshop work and custom animation as you can get into the presentations is what we want. So, and those are always fun. International medical study or advisory board meetings are awesome for us. They're not much in the way of PowerPoint besides just logistically organizing and running, but nothing on the design front, but they get us to international locations. Was in Budapest just a couple of weeks ago. Very exciting.
Woohoo. And I
am going to call myself out. I'm noting that my blog, the PowerPointblog.com, I kind of ran out of topics. Like, you know, I spool up topics and I have the design team do stuff. We've been so busy that I kind of neglected to have the design team work on stuff. I kind of neglected to have me work on stuff. So it's been kind of sitting idle. I just started a thing where I'm basically just playing Facebook. I'm showing a bunch of different presentation projects to cover myself for the next month so I can get time to get things in there. Nolan, our big project, internal project that I had to postpone, which was kind of mentally there, is I have a whole design team playing with the Better Deck Deck and creating slides based on it, you know, just to kind of make conversation and design skills. So I'll share the results with you.
I'm waiting to see them. I can't wait.
Yeah, we'll see how December will be much better. We'll be a little bit more of a lull and people will have time to get things done. And the blog will come back with lots of posts. What's happening with you, Nolan?
Well, we're continuing to sell lots of copies of the Better Deck Deck. that's the world of orange for me. But the world of green is that I'm still finding bits of green makeup in my ears. We decided to do a family set of costumes for Halloween and went as the Wizard of Oz. So Roxy was Glinda, Zoe was Dorothy, Ty was the man.
So cute. And
I was the Wicked Witch. So I think I look pretty good.
Darn good. You pulled it off.
Thank you. And a bunch of design projects coming in, including a pitch deck for a new line of baby products from a celebrity, which has been fun working on that. And some other, hearing some, for whatever reason, I've heard from a bunch of clients I haven't heard from in a few years, but you know, they're like, hey, are you still alive? It's like, we got something. I'm like, yeah, are you still alive? Haven't heard from you. So
I love that question. Do you still do PowerPoint?
I still have a mortgage, yes.
Yes, I still have a mortgage.
So that's what's happening. And just, you know, trying to keep our front lawn leaf free. It's a losing battle.
That's hilarious.
How about you, Sandy?
Well, let's see. Yeah, on the work front, it is contract/SOW renewal season, going through that process with a couple of clients. It's overall a lot of good, fun, and satisfying work. On a personal level, I'm trying to figure out this winter how I'm going to get my work done because we're preparing for a post-COVID winter travel frenzy.
Oh, jeez.
And plan on going to Portugal in November, Spain in January, Hungary in February, and UK in March. So we're making up for lost time.
I'm jealous.
Wow.
Nice. Yeah.
That's
amazing. It's, and this is all for fun. And I can't recommend enough Gate One Travel.
Is that that discount sort of? Yeah.
Yeah. You get
all sorts of packages.
They come up with these cool packages and you have 48 hours to book.
And are these groups or just you?
Both. All but one are just us. With Spain, we're doing a group.
Okay.
Wow.
Cool. Mm-hmm.
That sounds amazing. What part of Spain? Just curiosity.
We're flying into Madrid.
Fantastic.
I know. I can't wait. So that's it.
Okay, so on the news front, I'm going to start with this one because it's kind of a what's happening, kind of a news item, and then I know we have a whole list of other things. But since our last episode, Microsoft has released their annual financials, and I've been listening to a few podcasts and reading a couple of reviews and, kind of listening to the information or comparing the executives' comments is interesting. Do you guys have any thoughts on Microsoft? I have a few things to say, but I thought this was pretty, PowerPoint. Microsoft is a large part of
my world. I mean,
well, I think we talked about this before, but they combine my Office with a few other things. So it's a little hard to, like separate out, mm-hmm. right? Exactly. Mm-hmm. Office. Cause it's like part of a larger category, but that category was up significantly and keeps like rising significantly each quarter. Right.
Well, that was my whole thing. I'm listening to basically two different commentators and you get two different stories, but my takeaways are the exact information was noted as fantastic by Satya Nadella, the CEO, who's looking at growth, but the exact same information was listed as overly cautious when talking about the financials, which was Amy Hood, the CFO. She was looking at the earnings. So while Microsoft is growing exponentially, on the financial side, it's not as exponential big. I mean, they're
investing.
They're major numbers. But the other thing was, is exactly what you said, is they, everything's about Azure. Everything is now, all the analysts' requests and comments and everything was about Azure. And so many things have kind of gotten compartmentalized together, I think probably for the financial numbers to make them look better-ish. I don't know. My other big takeaway was that I thought was really interesting is that Windows as an operating system is on the decline in their focus and their future revenue. Everything seems to be pointed to cloud-based, not desktop. Mm-hmm. The reason I took note of that is that could change PowerPoint as our projects use it, mm-hmm. In the future, because there's definitely not a strong focus in their financial reportings about desktop use and even Windows as an operating system, as much as they are looking at cloud-based and everything else. And
interesting.
How much do you guys use Microsoft? Let me rephrase that. How much do you use PowerPoint online, like the web-based version? Do you use it at all?
Almost never. It's funny. I have one friend, colleague, who emails me ever so often to say, we can't get it to work online, or it's not looking right, or I can't, sync it or whatever. And then I'm like, oh yeah, right. You can do this online. Let me try to figure out how to help you. Not much. Sandy?
I'd say about 10%. I have several clients where we're in the Teams environment and we're collaborating. So the majority of the time I'm opening it on the desktop still, because that has all the functionality. But every once in a while for a quick edit, check in, whatever, I am focusing online. So yes, I'd say 10%. Of course, it's always mobile too.
Mm-hmm. And I think mobile falls into that whole category, even though there are specific iOS, iPad,
yes, exactly,
Android versions, but anything not desktop. And for me, I'm similar, Sandy. It's a minimal amount. It's enough to know it's there. And usually if I'm on my computer and I'm online, it's because I want to look at one of the new features, because Microsoft is done a big push to release features on the web-based version first. Like Word with the whole font dialogue thing that will hopefully be evolving into all the other apps and eventually the desktop versions. You can only find it on Word for the web or whatever we call it. Mm-hmm. Anyways, what other news is happening out there?
Well, there's a lot going on. I don't know what it is. Something's happening with Twitter. I don't know. Maybe we shouldn't go into it. Maybe it's not the focus of this podcast, but there's something going on over there. But for the time being, I'm still there. Sandy, you're still there, right?
I'm still there. Okay. Strange things afoot.
I'm still not paying for anything, but I'm still there. All right, we'll get back to you on that. Other software news. Let's move around Silicon Valley. Let's move over to Adobe. But this news is now weeks old, but it's been a while since we've done news. Adobe bought Figma. Yeah. And for everybody older than 30, Figma is this design program apparently that the kids use to do all sorts of stuff without working in Adobe. I've never used it.
Really?
Have you? Mm-hmm. Is that part of your workflow?
Oh,
not. I mean, we work with designers and internal departments use it. Figma is pretty darn amazing. I mean, it's Photoshop in your browser and among other things. I mean, it's, I would actually, so I'll probably get reached through. Somebody's going to slap me. I compared Figma to an online version of Corel Draw because Figma, okay, now wait, you got to think this through. Figma, because Adobe has a vector program. Illustrator. They have a raster program, Photoshop. They have a video editing program. Figma does all of them kind of overlapping in an online browser. And Corel Draw, which I think was a program that just didn't win the battle, it does everything. I mean, in one application, you had vector, you had raster, you had motion graphics. I mean, it's still out there. It's pretty funny. It just showed up on, like, I was in Facebook the other day, which is not a common thing. And there was a Corel Draw ad. I'm like, oh, it still exists. Wow. You know, but so Figma is, I mean, yeah, I've used it, not extensively, but we've used it because to work with other departments, and I've always been impressed by it. I don't know if this means Adobe's just going to buy it, integrate some of the stuff, and kill it off, or if they actually bought it because they think it's got advantages. You know, I don't know if they're taking out the competition or they're adding to their own powerhouse, but that's a big, I think it's a big deal. Because
it's a huge deal, and they paid lots and lots of money for it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and a lot of people are saying they paid way too much, but you know, who knows what. Who knows? I don't know. I can't.
Exactly.
It's not my business.
Okay. Well, continuing that trend of what's online, because Figma being an all online thing, did we already talk about this? But Canva introduced their office suite. They're basically stitching all of their smaller applications and features together, and they're kind of working more seamlessly. I think this is a big move. I mean, first of all, it's a big move in the design arena because we have clients now. We get all their content they design in Canva, and it always looks great. It's just not editable. It's always delivered as flat, beautiful things. But I'm like, I can't do anything with this besides show it. So Canva's making some big moves.
Yes, what else is out there? Well, speaking of Canva, Microsoft Designer is in beta, and I think we did announce that. But it really, this is a reminder because it's you know, if you go online, you can learn more about it. But sign up to be on the waiting list. Right now, that's all the options we have, is to sign up, and hopefully we get to dive into it sooner rather than later.
And it's technically in beta. There are people who have access to it. I don't know anybody. None of us have access to it yet, but you can sign up at designer.microsoft.com.
And thanks, Nolan.
Despite what despite what Microsoft says, it's, you know, it's Microsoft's version of Canva. it kind of is.
Well, there's a great tie-in for us because Microsoft Designer is leveraging the AI that we have in PowerPoint for...
That's right.
Well, it's Designer.
Designer.
I actually hadn't thought that through. But, you know, Microsoft's, you know, PowerPoint created such a good AI, they're leveraging it for other tools. And I think, well, there may be correlations to why they bought Clipchamp and some other of their acquisitions recently, because they're really going into this AI-based design world. And I don't think Canva has done that. Canva's providing resources, but this might be the next level up.
So that's at designer.microsoft.com. And to stay in the world of Microsoft and the never-ending changes of terminology, there, Sandy and I learned about, this is not new, but Sandy and I learned about something called create.microsoft.com. So Sandy, take it away on that. What is that?
Well, you know, when you're in PowerPoint, you have access to templates. When you're in Word, you have access to templates and other formerly known as Office programs. Now on createmicrosoft.com, you can access every single template in every single program, period. It's amazing. Check it out.
What is this? I've never seen this.
Oh, yeah. Check it out. Yeah, create.microsoft.com.
I believe it used to be called something else. The website used to be something else. And I don't know when this was changed. But again, we all kind of learned about this.
Was it?
I must have missed that.
It was Office. It was something Office.
Was this the Office 365 resources or whatever? Customer?
Maybe. I don't know. Whatever. It's a nice site. It's got.
Yeah, it's nicely designed.
Yeah.
I've never seen this. I mean, it's not stuff that I'll probably use anywhere,
right? But we don't need it, but many out there may.
Definitely does not. This is the new Microsoft, because it actually looks really nice and exciting.
Yes, it does. How about you, Nolan? Anything else?
That's enough on the Microsoft thing.
So
there's a new book that came out, which I got right when it came out, but I still haven't cracked it open. But that is Cole Nussbaumer, Naflix, Storytelling with You. So that is the latest presentation book on the horizon. Well, here, not on the horizon, it's mm-hmm. it's here. And I flipped through it. It looks very good. I just have not had a chance to dive in, but when I do, I'll let y'all know about it.
Very exciting. Okay, let's move over to our conversation. Okay, so to set the stage here, I am on a beach in Hawaii, no joke, while you're listening to this. But while we're recording this, I have perplexed looks from Nolan and Sandy. We opted to record this early because of time zone differences. I mean, it's 6 hours from Hawaii to Nolan. So, you know, there was one of us was going to have to suffer. We decided to do this early. So we said, hey, what conversation should we record? Nolan threw out a great idea. I said, great, let's do it. So this is the conversation we're having, which is, no, we don't do that. And in true absolute delegation format, I'm going to say, Nolan, please intro our conversation today.
I don't want to do that, Troy. So at last month's presentation summit, right, I hosted the annual business roundtable late night session. It wasn't so late night this year, but that's where we talk about the business of presentation. And we were able to arrange a surprise visit to the session by Nancy Duarte. So Nancy came down just for that session. It was fantastic. And we talked a lot about Duarte and Nancy's path, and we just talked about businesses in general, and you know, it was still sort of a round table. But you know, Nancy's said this before, but one of the things she credits her success to was choosing to specialize in presentation early on and stop doing websites and other design that her agency did in the early years. You know, they started as, you know, general design agency, but you know, after a few years, they realized in order to be successful and good at what you do. And she credits a lot of that to, I forget the author's name, but Good to Great.
That
book, mm-hmm. Which is, you know, again, specializing and basically knowing what to say no to. So they did it a long time ago. They specialized in presentation. They were the only agency around. They said, look, we don't got to do print. We don't have to do websites. So that was a bit of the genesis for today's episode. And I wanted to talk about all those things that you, Sandy, and you, Troy, have decided not to do over the years, things that we're not good at or that distract us from doing what we are good at. So you know, we got a bunch of topics and we'll see where the conversation goes. But let's start by going around and talking maybe about things that you just don't do when it comes to presentation and design. So Sandy, like, you know, somebody calls up, what are the things you're going to say no to?
If they call me to work on their website, maybe I'll do a straw man or whatever it is, but I'm not going to be involved in any of the site development. I don't work on mobile apps. If someone asks if I do keynote, I go to the guild and I ask someone else to do it. I don't work on a Mac anymore. You know, it's been, oh my gosh, how many years since I've been exclusively on Windows? So if I have to do anything that requires Mac, for example, Keynote, then I'm done. How about you, Nolan? I mean,
so Sandy, I don't do any digital. That's mm-hmm. that's my catch-all for no websites, no mobile, no apps. In the past, I've done, you know, a little bit of email design. I don't know if I do that. Google Slides and Keynote, I have done in the past a little bit. I used to actually do a lot more Keynote, but I think these days, I just like you, I'd probably refer people out. Mm-hmm. And I don't do Tableau or Power BI, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. there.
When Never touched it. Like I that. Did have someone ask me about Power BI. Good one to bring up. I just didn't even want to go there. I think it's better now with PowerPoint, but I just didn't want
it
to
It is.
Go
it's
there.
Just another mm-hmm. whole. I mean, I think with a lot of these things, it's if you are only going to do it once a year, or, you know, if you get asked, you know, just every so often, it's not worth it to learn the skill and mm-hmm. try to get up to speed just for that one project. And then obviously things change. And if you're not doing it often, then I think you're not doing yourself any favors by just taking everything on. Troy, what about
exactly.
you? I mean, you've got a ton of resources and people. So what do you turn down?
Well, so I was really excited about this conversation because it actually falls right in line with something Lori and I have been working on for the past several months. And we actually do these Hawaii escapes so we can sit down and get time to really kind of evaluate and kind of make our plans. One of the things we've done is we've actually categorized our company into three offerings now. So we have a lot of, we don't offer this. Now, one thing we have done for the past several years, and we're going to continue doing, is what we list that we provide is very, very streamlined. Presentation design, template design, live event support, virtual meeting support. Those are our key elements. Now, I think you mentioned it, Nolan, is that existing clients, ongoing clients, they're an exception to the rule. Mm-hmm. So we just finished an event. We were on site. We did the template for it. We provided all of the branding assets for it. We provided a lot more than just presentation design and on-site support, but that was an existing client. So we open up kind of the whole catalog of offerings to existing clients to make sure a project gets one stop for everything. But if somebody came to us and said, hey, I need a website. Yeah, we don't do web design. If somebody came to us and said, hey, I need an HTML email campaign. We don't really do that. Now, I'm saying that in that we do it, but we don't offer it as a one-off job. We have an ongoing project client where we design, it's a medical consortium of doctors. And we take all of their content for every conference they're going to speak at, and we do it all. We do the theme for it. We do the template for it. We obviously do all the PowerPoint slide design for it. And then we also do an HTML email campaign. We use their own CMS website. We manage that for them. So we do everything for them. But if somebody came to us and just said, hey, could you do the HTML email? The answer is no, I'm sorry. That's not an offering we have. So this is a tricky question. What we show that we list or what we list that we do, we say no to a lot of stuff, but we kind of compartmentalized ourselves into three key offerings now. Does that make sense?
Yeah. It's like ordering off the menu at a restaurant, right?
Mm-hmm. By the way, we've never had Tableau. Google Slides would be a really hard one for us to say yes to at this point, just because I get more frustrated using it than anything. Prezi hasn't even been on the offering table for a while. Mm-hmm. Canva, as I mentioned up front, we have clients that use Canva. We don't even have a Canva premium account anymore. So we will use it when needed, but I just find it's great for inspiration, but it's hard for us to do the design level we want. But okay, so what's the next topic?
Well, okay, so let's talk about things we used to do, but have since decided that we shouldn't or just absolutely can't. And tell us why. Nolan, you start.
Prezi. I used to do Prezi, right? I wouldn't say a lot, but I knew how to use Prezi and we did a bunch. And clients just stopped asking for it. And so clients stop asking for it. My skills, start deteriorating. And then, a year or two later, somebody says, hey, can you do Prezi? I'm like, haven't done it in a couple years. Mm-hmm. And no, just not worth getting back up to speed. I used to do speech coaching. I would actually usually do it with a partner, a friend of mine. But again, hadn't been asked in a while. I mean, I thought we actually did it really well. It was, we had an offering where we do speech coaching, but, sort of more traditional stuff, but then also how to interact with slides. And there was a little bit of slide design, and that's something most speech coaches don't do, how to, work mm-hmm. with slides. But again, just haven't done it. And there's so many good people out there that do it. We just refer people out now. Logo design is, if I had my career to do over again, I think I'd love to be a logo designer. I just think it's so cool. We've done a little bit over the years. And, again, mostly for regular clients, but it's just not my gig. It's not my specialty. I'd love to be good at it. I'm just not as good as other people. And I thought of this recently because I was asked by one of my regular clients to do logo design. I said, I'm going to refer you. And I referred them out to this guy, Von Glitchka. Do you know Von? He's fantastic. He's just one of my favorite. Like everything he does is amazing. And this was like my first opportunity to get some work his way. And what's funny is, so he did it. It came out great. It did it for this other client. And then the client is now coming back to me to finish up the template. So I'm working with Von's work now, the brand guide and the logo. And I just sent him an email and I said, Von, it's so great to work with a professional's product. I was like, I was going through the style guide and it's all perfect. It's like everything is done perfectly. Everything is like inspiring. It's easy for me to, pour it over to templating. And so that was a great, so we just had a nice sort of interchange there. Yeah, he's really fantastic. Sandy, how about you?
Well, let's see. Well, first of all, I want to mention I've never done Prezi. From the beginning, I was always able to manipulate PowerPoint to kind of recreate that. Mm-hmm. And I remember people coming to me and I said things like, I'm going to build it in PowerPoint. And if you don't like it, I won't bill you for the work. I mean, that's how passionate I was about it. You can go do get somebody else to do Prezi. And I worked with that client for like 10 years, all because they came to me for Prezi and I was able to create their presentations in PowerPoint. But things I don't do anymore. So Troy, unlike you, I don't do large conferences anymore. And I did not ever do what you do as far as the big screen, all of that type of design. I worked with all of the C-suite executives, all the breakout session presenters, all of that, every single one. So everyone had a cohesive story to tell, a cohesive look. I don't do that anymore. It burnt me out, as we all know. I don't work on PowerPoint add-ins anymore. I did a lot, not a lot. I work with John Wilson. Awesome to work with John. But it just seems like the headaches involved in building PowerPoint add-ins aren't worth it.
Not because of John.
Not because of John. No. John
just
is
because
a dear,
of the nature
dear
of the beast.
Yeah. Nature of the beast. I mean, these projects, minimum a year, they would last for me. And I need more. I don't know. That was just too much. Anyway, do you remember having to create EXE files all the time for PowerPoint?
Oh my gosh.
All the time. So back in the old days when PowerPoint 2007 came out and it wasn't very compatible with 2003, I might be getting my years versions mixed up. I would send files to the clients as EXEs so that it maintained the integrity. Executable files so that it would maintain the integrity of the presentation. No need to do that anymore.
No.
I feel like that's even a bit before my time. I don't remember doing that.
Gosh, yeah.
I mean, Sandy started when she was 16.
So I did, exactly. But so those are a few of the things. How about you, Troy?
We no longer do Prezi. We did a lot of Prezi. We actually did Prezi on event sites, but this and that. But we actually did more billable reverse engineering Prezi. Somebody would come to us with Prezi, they'd run it like, hey, now we need to use it for my other meetings. Like, great. We'll take it and we'll recreate it in PowerPoint. So we actually made double, Prezi was great for us. We made money running it and we made money undesigning it, or redesigning it.
Putting it together and taking it apart.
Keynote design. I'll call it out. We'll still run Keynote at events. So some companies are very Keynote centric. We have a fleet of MacBook Pros. We'll show up and run Keynote files and we'll do the on-site modifications and last minute adjustments, but we don't really design in Keynote. I don't think we've said yes to a true Keynote only project in a while. Google Slides design, again, we'll run it on site, but we really shy away from saying we'll take on the design elements of it.
When you run Google Slides, do you download it or run it off? Sorry to trigger you.
So it depends. If it's a Google Slide oriented event, it's usually because it's an internal meeting and they're literally working on their content till the time they take the stage. Mm-hmm. So downloading becomes a problem. Now, Google Slides, so this is a side tangent, by the way, as far as the technology goes, it is, in my opinion, stellar. It has a dual screen capability. You can have it has a true presenter view look and it has a projection view look, but it takes many, many, many clicks to get from one presentation to another. You can't quickly escape out and go to it because you have to open the, so anyways, yeah, it works. We just don't really do a lot of design work there. I'd also say the same for like polling and ARS, audience interactive stuff. And we do a lot of that for our virtual stuff. Mm-hmm. And we've limited ourselves down to only providing one software now, but we no longer
Which is
do.
That? I'm just curious.
We use Slido.
Yeah. Okay.
And the reason we use Slido is not because of capabilities. It's because Slido was the solution we found that we could put as an iframe into our virtual meeting experience area. Okay. And it resized itself down to a nice thin sliver really well. It's mobile friendly. It just has a lot of display options. In addition, we paid for their higher tier and we had some customization done to our package, which means I can never cancel it because I'd lose all those customizations. So they're a really great company to work with. But we used to work with many of the other ones. we actually held licenses for them, or we held the equipment when they're actually keypads. We just don't offer it anymore. It's kind of something that's evolved. Print design, large format design, you know, those are all things that, again, we'll offer them to existing clients, part of a bigger project, but we're not going to take those on as a standalone project. PowerPoint training, Nolan, we used to, I was on the road at least once, twice a month doing different training sessions, a lot of feature function. This is how PowerPoint works. Here's how you accomplish this. Here's some design ideas. Here's how you work on it. You know, here's how you're going to take those Adobe skills and apply them into PowerPoint. Still very, very relevant stuff, but I just don't have time to do it. So,
and do you still get asked?
We do. Lori just completed, again, existing client, very long-term client, very, very high, annual. We have a contract with them. So they're, and they said, hey, our internal design department needs some information on designing in PowerPoint. So it was great. I mean, she loved it, but that was a very one-off thing. That was something we did this year. And that's probably the only training we did for the whole year. Again, assistant client.
Well, when you do get asked next, my email is nolan@nolanhamescreative.com. My phone number is...
I have provided it several times to people who have asked.
I have another Von Glitchka story. Can I tell? Oh. Like, this is becoming his podcast. But no, but it's, you'll get a kick out of it. So he gave a training, a seminar at one of the Creative Pro Weeks. I think it was an online version during COVID. And he gave it with his daughter, Savannah, who's he works with a lot and is an amazing illustrator. And I had never seen this before. It was insane. He presented his whole presentation using Illustrator layers. So what? So he made slides, basically slide-ish kind of, you know, screens in Illustrator, and would start turning off the layers to go through one or the other. But it made 100% sense because he was talking about how to design logos in Illustrator and taking people through it. And it was, as I told him, I said, it was the most insane thing and the most perfect thing. I loved it. I had never seen Illustrator used as presentation software, but it was perfect. It worked. So
that is phenomenal. Yeah. Okay, so I'm going to wrap up with things we used to do that we shouldn't do. I'm going to go old school. You ready for this? We don't do flash design anymore. We don't do CD-ROMs. Sandy, you triggered this by saying, yes. I don't do EXE apps anymore.
That's why
We don't do information websites. I don't do director animation or interfaces. See, really old school. And we don't do screensavers. Those are all things that we used to offer.
Screensavers. Wow.
Those were literally listed.
No fine toasters for you.
Yeah. Those were listed on our website as offerings. We did lots and lots of them. Those are definitely not there. Okay. Let me transition us. Are there types of projects you do accept, but you're kind of like nervous and think you shouldn't have done it?
Yes. And I'm going to give you a list, but then also every day, it seems like, right? Accessibility. I haven't done a lot of it lately, but you know, the last few years I had done some accessibility projects, mostly print, in InDesign. And I, the last few I've done, I'm decent with it, but it's still just nerve wracking, like looking at tag trees and trying to remediate stuff. And the last project, I got it about 90% there, and I just hired a friend of mine. I said, Chad, you take this across the finish line for me because I can't finish it. Email design is, again, I don't do it very often. Every so often, I will, and then I instantly regret it. Complex animation. I don't really like, I'm doing more animation, but I don't know. I see other designers and like really insane, like PowerPoint animation. I always get jealous and every once in a while. So I usually don't promise it to clients, but I'll
I'm going to share some of Lori's slide designs on this last project. Cause they spent weeks on animation to make animated points. Some of it, we had a roller coaster cause they literally had an analogy. And Lori's like, this is too perfect. They're mentioning a roller coaster. I've got to have a roller coaster. And using Morph, the roller coaster spanned three different slide widths. Oh, cool. So the roller coaster kept going with different. Oh, it's so awesome. And little people cheered at the end on the roller coaster. Yeah. So again, it made total sense for the presentation. It wasn't animation for animation's sake. And it happened behind the presenter. They didn't acknowledge it. It literally just accented the points. But there is the type of animation we love to do. It doesn't come up in all projects. So when you say you don't do it, it's it could also be the type of work you're, you know.
Yeah. And again, it's, you know, it's, I think a lot of, I don't get a lot of clients like asking for it necessarily. And I think this might be a thing with presentation designers in general, that if you give, if you want to do it and you feel it works and give it to them, like they're happy with it. But if you don't, they may not, you know,
appreciate
that it's even missing. Yeah. So, right. I mean, I think it comes down to style. Like I have a very, you know, distinctive style, I think, at least to me. And it doesn't include a lot of animation. It includes some very subtle things, you know, for transitions. And I use morph, you know, left and right, just to sort of keep things moving. But I tend not to do that kind of like, let me explain this process. And there's spinning gears and there's like the thing moving in and out. Like I've seen it and it's amazing and it's cool, but it's just kind of not my style to sort of get into that.
So what else are you nervous about? If somebody says, hey, can you do this? You say, absolutely. And you're like, should I have said yes to that?
Oh my gosh. So I still do work with executives at conferences. It's just more.
Wait a minute. Don't we hear from you every year that you've stopped doing that?
Yeah. I don't work with multiple at a time.
They pull me back in.
So I will work with an executive who has a keynote to deliver. And I do everything from designing the presentation to coaching to blah, 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 you know, from top to bottom. So, but I still get this kind of pit in my stomach. I feel that way about social media graphics, even though they're pretty easy. The specs are changing all the time for the different social media platforms. And so I just get a little uncomfortable with it, but I'll do it for existing clients.
You know, I'm going to jump right on that. I'm going to say my thought was anything that's new software, I'll say yes to something because it sounds exciting. And then I'm like, oh, crud, now I got to do it. But you know, social media graphics fall right into that. Lori coordinated a big project, existing client. So again, we said yes to it because it's an existing client. We have an ongoing relationship. They're like, hey, we just need somebody to take over. You already have all the assets and you understand our product line. Could you make all these social media things? You know, we'll turn you over to that department. And they use some specialty tools, and then we added some additional ones. But you know, it's like, ooh, should we have said yes to that? Because now we're doing, because there's some really cool online social media graphic checkers that like tell you technical specs, but they also kind of like, you know, evaluate the content within it. But you know, that was kind of a nervous one, like, oh, is this going to work? And it was a huge project. I mean, it just kept going. Right, that was part of the problem. It just kept going.
They're
like, oh, now we need another one. And that's the problem with social media; it never ends. So you know, you got to get nervous about saying yes to that, knowing you have other things. And but I think.
Don't the dimensions on that keep changing?
Like every so often? Exactly. Yes, exactly. That's what I get so, because the last thing you want is if you've used a photo of somebody to not feature the correct body part. You know what I'm, it's just, you know, I worry about that because I've seen it when it's done poorly and I don't want to be in that boat.
I get nervous when we say yes to too many things because I may have said yes to some projects and then Lori said yes to some projects and we haven't quite gotten them into the project log. And, you know, maybe one of our designers got a project. Oh, speaking of which, I heard back from somebody. We had a returning client who had a quick turnaround need and I don't think we ever got the files. I'm going to have to follow up with somebody again. And that was one of the ones I was like, ooh, should we have said yes to that? So I'm worried about overcommitting. I'm always worried about that because we've been in that boat and it's nothing like staying up till 3 a.m. trying to make sure you know, cause Lori and I are the ones that end up doing that. But, and then new software or new processes. Mm-hmm. It's always do we put enough into this? Do they have it? Okay. So there's me.
Okay. Hey, we consider ourselves Microsoft experts, I guess. I think I have a t-shirt that says that or something. What about Word and Excel?
Well, Nolan, do you work in Word?
No, I don't work in Word. Excel. I, you know, have dabbled, but I really just say no. I push people towards PowerPoint or InDesign. And I'm just really not. And I've hired, you know, people in the past to do Word for it, but it's like with Prezi. Like if I don't feel comfortable jumping in to fix something or make an edit or whatever without having that other person, I'm probably not going to do it. Mm-hmm. And again, that's one of the reasons why I don't have a huge staff the way other agencies do is because I want to be able to be involved in everything, even if I, you know, don't have to. So, and Excel, usually not. I mean, I work in Excel a tiny bit here and there. And of course, you know, for data in conjunction with PowerPoint, but I don't do any like heavy, you know, dashboarding or you know, formula stuff, all that kind of.
I hired Glenna for that.
Yeah.
Well, and on that note, a while ago, I did quite a bit of work in Word for corporations who needed reports and they were still working in Word. I was not clearly even close to wanting an MVP status in that. But to what Nolan said, when you stop doing it, it's like I have to relearn how to do headers every single time. Headers and footers. It's a nightmare for me. So I don't do that anymore. From now on, I plan on just asking somebody else. And like I said, I asked somebody else to do Excel, although it's really fun and how easy it is to impress clients by sending them a blank Excel file that has the theme that you created in PowerPoint attached to it. They think that's just the coolest thing. And I used to, this is going to date me, I suppose. I used to love using Publisher because my clients would have it as a part of their suite. And it was a really fun tool to work in for brochures.
Did they know
flyers.
They had it, or did you have to tell them about it? Because nobody even knew it existed, in my opinion.
Maybe I had some smarter clients. I don't know. Or I would ask them. Maybe I would say, okay, so they would want some kind of flyer. They would want something, a poster. And I would ask them if they had,
it had a place. Is it even available anymore? I don't know the answer. I don't know.
But yeah, it's been a long time since I've done anything. So Troy, how about you? Excel?
Well, Publisher was never an option. So that one's not even on the board. Okay. We used to kind of smirk at Publisher, you know, being the
I know.
Stuff before that. You know, we do not do Word or Excel. No. But what we do accomplish, again, existing client, part of an ongoing or a larger project. If somebody called to us and said, hey, I need a Word template, we're like, great, let me see if I can find somebody for you to talk to that's not at our company. We won't offer that. But we will do Word and Excel templates. And by that, I mean, they're very lightweight. And we design, it's going to pull all the elements from PowerPoint. So we're creating more of a theme, but we're giving it to them as a template file. You know, custom color scheme, custom font scheme are embedded in their files. So when they open it up, there's some continuity between all their elements. You know, and in Word, I will tell you, in Word, I always get envious of the paragraph. It's paragraph styles, right? Word styles. Mm-hmm. You know, I just get envious of those. I'm like, they're so simplistic compared
to nice.
InDesign, but they're so much more robust than like what PowerPoint offers. Mm-hmm. And it's like, come on, we really should have these at a minimum. You know, just some of the typography features in Word are so much better. So I do get envious every now and then when I'm in Word, but we really don't do much in those.
No, it's tough if you're not in it all the time. So
I think it's tough if you are in it all the time.
Oh, okay.
It's just a hard program to work with.
That's funny. Well, so moving on, have you ever taken on a project and somewhere in the middle of it, I do this all the time, regretted it, found yourself trying to get a way out of it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Accessibility again. I think last thing I did, I got pretty okay with it, but there are definitely times in the middle of some of those big projects that
I see you as an expert. So you're being hard on yourself. So, but interesting.
You're a far more knowledgeable designer than most. I definitely know that.
Exactly. You
definitely berate yourself for not being like the absolute pinnacle of information, but.
Well, again, I mean, thank you for that. But I think this comes down to what we see a lot in our, you know, very specifically in our industry of things being just good enough versus things being really good. And I think that's what separates a lot of designers, especially a lot of presentation designers. It's like, oh, it's good enough. Like it's just, it's fine. It doesn't have to be built right. Or, you know, it's messy under the hood, or it's, you know, it's not aligned. It's not this or whatever. And that's unfortunately good for many clients in many situations, but that's not what we do. And I think we all have very high standards. And if we can't meet our own high standards, even if it meets the client standards, that's kind of a rough thing, right? Yeah. I mean, mm-hmm. we've all been there. It's like, we're frustrated. And that's why I think we all have probably very good spouses that just say, it's good enough. It's good. It's fine. Yeah. Go to sleep.
It's fine.
It's
your integrity.
Right?
It's your, yeah. Yeah.
Okay. I will always, I'll always remember my brother's advice when I was going to college. I asked him, because he's about 6 years older than me, and we were talking about all-nighters. And I said, Dan, have you ever, you know, pulled an all-nighter? And my brother's very creative, very smart. And he said, you know what? If it wasn't done by 2 a.m., I found a way to finish it. And he's that's always the way I've been.
Good enough.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And it's that served me well.
Wow. That probably is going to live to be 100. Oh, well,
What do you got, Sandy?
So very early on, when I learned, I grew up in the Twin Cities ad agency world, and we did a lot of print stuff. When I went out on my own, I remember designing a presentation template, everything, and the client was so impressed by it, they wanted me to do some print materials. Didn't even think to ask about offset printing, all that stuff. And all of a sudden, when I realized that, it was like pure panic. So I had to turn it over, my design, I had to turn it over to someone to get it print ready. Recent as last week, I took a project and the client wanted this, wanted that. Sent him an email a half an hour later going, wait a minute. Mm-hmm. Are you looking for purely digital? Because that's the only arena I work in. I don't develop materials for offset printing. And thank goodness in that particular case, I didn't have to send it away. But that's been one of my tough ones.
Troy?
How about you, Troy?
Boy, I'm thinking. I mean, I do
you
have
never
some
regret anything?
no regrets.
There is lots of regrets. But it's like, did I ever want to cancel anything in the middle? And usually... Because again, it's not just me. You know, we have a whole design team and a lot of very, very talented people to take on things. So I think my biggest regret is usually us going down into something going, this is going to take way more of an investment to complete time-wise than what we relayed to the client. Then, you know, suddenly it's like, we're going to need like 90 hours to complete this thing. We told the client it'd be done in 40, you know, on the billable. Like, how do we... We can't go back to them because the specs haven't changed. It's just the parameters of how this is going to work or something happened. You know, that's usually my biggest regret is like, can we actually make this thing or the time frame? Again, they want this done in 2 weeks. We should have never committed to that, you know, because the client isn't even ready for a week. So really, it's a 1 week turnaround. It could have been 2 weeks if they wouldn't have given it to us on day one. But now here we are a week into it. So again, I'm halfway through regretting it going, this is a bad scenario. There is just no way. And at that point, I think I need Nolan's brother's phone number to like turn one and say, hey, listen, here's what's going to happen at 2 a.m. You're going to have what you're going to have. I guess that's my best answer for that. I don't want to dwell on those things. Here, how about this? Speaking of painful decisions, how about a painful decision where you did say no? But it was something you really debated, like, should have I said no or should I say no or yes? Like a project you said no to that was just really, really hard to decide. It should be a no project.
Well, does leaving the Presentation Guild board count?
Oh,
that was really tough. That was so tough. And when the words finally came out of my mouth, I couldn't believe they were coming out of my mouth because that was... where I wanted to be forever in that community. And that was tough. That was really, talk about painful, agonizing, debating. But I had a lot of support from my husband on that one. So it's all worked out.
And you didn't leave the guild. You just left the board.
I just left the board. Exactly. How about you, Nolan?
So a number of years ago, I had done some work for this agency, and I can't even remember which one it is. I'm sure I could do some research and find out. It was maybe a creative agency, an ad agency, or something. And it was a decent size. It was, if not hundreds, maybe over 1,000. I mean, this was not a mom and pop agency. And so I guess I did some presentation work, maybe some templating thing. And I remember during it, they said, "Oh, you know, we're going to be doing." We're going to be doing a rebrand soon. I'm like, oh, okay. said, well, come back to me, you know, when you, you know, if you need more work after that. And they called me back a few months and said, we love the work you did, the presentation or whatever it was. We want you to do the rebrand of our agency. And I said, well, we do a little bit, but I think you need somebody like, I told them, I said, like a pentagram or an interbrand. I think you're like big enough for that kind of, kind of thing. And they said, well, we know them and we appreciate that, but we really liked working with you. We think you're really talented. We want you to do it. And I was like, well, I was stunned. I was like, let me get back to you. And I remember there was no way I could do this myself. And I called a colleague, a partner, and we had some conversations. And I said, I think she had done some branding for me previously. And I said, do you want to like team up on this and do it? And I remember having these conversations back and forth. I mean, this could have been like my one billing that year. I mean, this would have been huge. And I just ultimately called them, and my colleague didn't think, you know, we could do it, we could take it on. And I called back and I just said, this is too big. This
okay.
is for us.
Wow. That's so tough.
Yeah. I mean, it was unfortunate, but I think probably the right choice. Cause I know I'd be drowning and then I wouldn't have been able to do other projects. And like, it just, I don't think it was the right fit. Troy?
Okay. So this is fairly recent, like this year. And we had a company, again, it was an existing client, not the actual division we work with, but an existing client came to us and they basically just said, we need web design. I was like, you know, we really don't do web design. Tell me what you're looking for. Because we do web design. I mean, we do all of our virtual meetings are custom web design. We do a lot of President's Club portals. We do a lot, and we're a very, very talented team of web designers. We just don't offer it up as web design. They basically said, we need to rebrand this division's website. We need a complete rebuild. We need to add more functionality. We have $100,000 put into our budget that has to be used this year. So we're like kind of at the end of the year. And that was like let me get back to you. I mean, it was a six-figure number. They were just basically saying, here it is. We're going to give it to you. Just make sure you deliver on it. And that was a hard one to say no to. Definitely a painful decision. It's like, that's a lot of money. Mm-hmm. That's a good thing. But it would have taken all of our resources away from doing other work. Right. So kind of like you, Nolan, it's like, do we just take this one big thing and say no to everything else? So we ultimately turned it down. And yeah. and somebody else, I'm sure, is working on it. Hopefully feverishly at this point, because it's not up yet.
Hey, but you do not want your revenues to be tied into one client. I mean, that is your billing. It's just...
Yeah.
You know,
so things come up. I mean, that could be a dream job for somebody to say, I literally just got somebody that's going to pay us, you know, three times what we normally do. And they were so easygoing and they just wanted to work with somebody they already had a relationship with. And so, I mean, I'm sure there's plenty of other, I know there's plenty of other stories, but that's a big one. So
well,
that was a painful
how about, have you ever had to let a client go?
A fired client? So, of course.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, that falls into this. That's hard. That's not an easy thing to do. Mm-hmm. Unless, in one case, the guy was such a bad person that it was hard. But, you know, that is a painful thing to have to do, too. Either you're just, they're not the right fit anymore.
I was going through some old files, just cleaning some stuff up, and I came across the files for a lot of projects for this one client that I fired a few years ago. And I went through all of these. I was like, oh, wait, you know, this wasn't that bad. Maybe I shouldn't have fired them. And then I came back to, no, it's a good thing. I'm good without them. All right. Man. So flipping this around, this will be the last thing. How about, is there something you currently say no to, but feel like you do want to start saying yes to in the future? And I'll surprise everybody. Maybe I'm not committing to this, but maybe Google Slides.
Really?
I don't know. I don't know. Well, I'm not making any commitments, but it would be nice to have it in my back pocket. I hate all the compromises and limitations. I don't know. Sandy, how about you?
No, I'm not going to go back to offset printing. And no one has asked me to do this yet, but I'm actually looking forward to seeing what we can do with Microsoft Designer.
Okay.
So that might be something.
I think that's a new product, and it's going to be a new need.
Absolutely. How about you, Troy?
This is going to be Microsoft confusing because what I am going to say will sound similar, but it is definitely not. What I would like to say yes to is developing PowerPoint templates that leverage Designer, PowerPoint Designer.
Oh,
in other
yeah.
words, they have presets for all the, you know, we create the back-end invisible layouts that are corporate approved. They align with the corporate guidelines. They aren't just randomized by, you know, other outside elements. I mean, the technology's there, the information's there. It just really hasn't come into its own yet. And I don't know if it will, but I would love to say yes to actually building the next level of PowerPoint templates that kind of leverage this amazing designer technology, which is different than the one Sandy just mentioned.
Exactly.
And so I would love to say yes to that. It's just not there yet. Clients don't know about it. And the development tools are very, very rough to work in. And there's something I'd like to say yes to, but Google Slides is not on my list. Hold on.
All right. I think we've covered everything. Want to wrap it up, Troy?
Let me do a wrap up. No, we don't do that. .. any longer is what this whole conversation is about. Because, you know, presentation design, everybody's individual skills, a company skills, they all evolve. I mean, I referenced Flash and Director. Those haven't evolved. They've just gone away. So you have to move beyond it. So there are things out there everybody should say no to. There are things out there that people may be lingering on. Look at your website, people. Maybe there's something on there that you probably shouldn't be listing. In fact, hold on. I got to find my own business card.
You still have business cards?
Hold on.
I got a big stack. I'm just collecting dust.
Okay, so here it is. I found my own business card.
And it was next to his fax machine. Go on.
Hey, I'm just going to throw this out there. We had a color fax machine. How many people
wow.
could say that?
Ooh. That's very...
That you was were a technology fancy. That came and went. Okay, so on our business card, I actually thought about this, that we probably need to evolve our business cards because the front side's all beautiful and fantastic. But on the backside, graphic design, PowerPoint presentation, show site graphics, iPad digital publishing, multimedia applications. So obviously we haven't redesigned our card for like a
Very
decade.
Neat.
Well, I'm so glad I found somebody to design my next iPad app. So Troy, can we schedule a call?
So anyways, maybe that's something I should have listed up above. It didn't even come to frame of mind, but it was big enough niche for us that it was on our business cards. And it is on our business cards, but I haven't had new business cards. I mean, I bought like 5,000 cards. And I haven't gone through them in 10 years.
So, yes.
Anyways, so there's that. So as a wrap up, thanks guys for talking about us. Nolan, thank you very much for not only bringing up this conversation, but starting it with Nancy Duarte. I mean, mm-hmm. how much better can we get there? Hey, let's mm-hmm. take a quick minute if you're okay. Let's pause, do some pro and tech tips before we close out. Good.
So my idea for a pro and tech tip is actually from Troy. When we were on site working together, he gave me this handy dandy little combo standard and USB jump drive. I'm putting a link in the show notes, but basically what it is a jump drive. One end is USB-C, the other end is a standard, it all in one. It's just very handy.
Nice.
Yep. And you can order it, you know, a multitude of sizes. I think I have the 64 gig. But
absolutely.
I don't use, yeah, that's the only time I use jump drive. So now
I haven't used one in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
I have.
How about you, Nolan?
All right. I'm recommending to everybody, doesn't really matter what brand you get, but I'll tell you the one that I got from CyberPower, a UPS system. So a UPS system stands for uninterrupted power supply. Now, some of you already on board with this. I, for whatever reason, just never did. Basically what it is, it's a big battery. It's a big thing that you plug stuff into. Just in case your power goes out, it will keep things rolling. Not forever, you know, depending on which model you get, it'll keep things, and depending on how much power you've actually plugged into it, like it'll keep your computer running for an hour or so. Or if you have your router and your modem plugged mm-hmm. into it, it will keep that going. So even though the power goes out probably a lot more often than internet, at least where I am. So if your power goes out, your internet's still there. So it can, so if you're wireless on your laptop or whatever, you can still maintain that. So I just never had any of this. We had really good, like our power goes out like once every couple of years here. But sure enough, I was talking to our friend Ken Mollet about this, and he said, wait a minute, you don't have a UPS? You have to get one like tomorrow. And so I got one from my computer up here, and sure enough, like hours before I was giving a training, power started like flipping off.
So oh my goodness.
It ended up being okay, but I since have a second one now. So I have one for my computer at my office and one now for our modem and router in the basement.
Okay.
So if the power goes off for a half hour, an hour, I'll be able to keep going. One of the big things with a computer is my computer just takes forever to restart and get everything all set up. So that's just, it just saves me, you know, 15 minutes there.
So it's instant. Okay. It's instant. So obviously I don't have one because I'm asking these questions. And when I saw that you had purchased one, I'm going, duh, yeah. To do this.
And they don't, I mean, you can spend like thousands of dollars on these, but you don't have to. Like they start at like 50, 60 bucks and go up and, you know, different capacities and stuff. But yeah, mostly what happens is like the power will like just blip off. Right. Mm-hmm. And then your computer mm-hmm. goes down. It's like, oh, I got to restart. I lost mm-hmm. this file. This just prevents it all. It's uninterrupted, keeps going.
And well, two comments.
Yeah,
two
I'm comments. Sure. I'm sure Troy's all
number
over this,
one
right?
is a laptop has a built-in UPS called the battery.
Yes, yes, it does. Mm-hmm.
But putting it on your modem, your router is like a fantastic idea, probably over the laptop. I mean, most people, in my opinion, work on a laptop. I would actually be curious. We need like a polling scenario. I mean, hold on. Let me think this through.
Don't you guys have full house generators though?
I do.
Backup
not.
Generators?
Oh. Do you?
Yeah.
Wow.
And how often do you end up needing them?
Never.
How do you need your UPS?
Never. Well,
no.
I needed it the other day.
The second option is the cyber power is a huge one. Because we put them all over our office. Because we have like a, you can spend thousands of dollars. We have one for our main server because you don't want the server just to crash. You want to, you know, elegantly shut down. Mm-hmm. But we bought Amazon Basic ones. After doing research, we mm-hmm. bought Amazon Basics. They're at all the workstation areas, all of our live broadcast studio areas. And they'll keep everything running for like, you know, 20 minutes at the most. Yeah. Enough time to get changed over.
I mean, if you have a whole house generator, sure. Yeah. Provided yeah. that generator does not have like a, some of them like take a while to like kick in.
Yes.
And so mm-hmm. this is instantaneous. Like
right.
it actually goes through and you plug everything
in. That
into
was my
it.
Question.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It starts beeping at you.
Yes, it does. You can turn okay. that off.
Okay. Pro and tech tip for me is Units Plus. It's an iPhone app. I don't know if there's an Android app under that exact name. It's an all-in-one conversion app. So like for currency, you know, I was just in Hungary and converting the huff or the florin as it's called to US dollars. But I also had to convert the euros and the British pound, depending on who I was talking to. I used it for length conversion during the setup for figuring out the projection projector distance. And because I'm a product of the 70s US school system, I still don't do metric. So, you know, metric to imperial conversion in my head is not an option. So I use this app all the time. Temperature and volume. There's a really good story about why I needed to convert volume of a beverage, but we'll save that for another time. It's free. The light version is all I use. It does updates continuously for like, I would assume, you know, financials, you know, to currency, and it works offline, which is the other thing. So you don't have to be online. So you can actually, you know, utilize it when you're offline. So I just
did you say
it,
units? Units as units. In a measurable unit?
Yeah, units yeah. plus UNITS plus.
Okay, perfect.
Plus right. spelled out PLUS, not the icon symbol. But anyways, just a little side note because I just realized I've been using it on these last two international trips and I've had it for a while. And I think that's something everybody should have because everybody else is going to, you know, people around me, they're literally going into Google and talking into that or Siri saying, hey, convert this. Like, I have this one app that does it all. So, hey, let's do some sign offs. This is Troy from TLC Creative Services, professional design agency. We do lots and lots of work in the presentation world. Find us at tlccreative.com. If you have a virtual or hybrid event that needs a place for the attendees to experience an event, bxpmeeting.com. And you can check out my blog, thepowerpointblog.com. Just don't shame me because it hasn't had a lot of new content lately.
This is Nolan from Nolan Hames Creative. Check out nolanhamescreative.com for information on training and design work. Also, the Better Deck Deck is available in 3 different versions, including digital and physical copies. You can get that at thebetterdeckdeck.com.
And this is Sandy Johnson with Presentation Wiz. You can visit my website and blog at presentationwiz.biz, where you can also reach out to me for free presentation storyboarding PDFs. I'm also on LinkedIn as Sandra Johnson, PowerPoint MVP, and on Twitter as SPPT Wiz. Excuse me. I know who I am.
For as long as Twitter is around, Sandy will be
there. Exactly, I'll be there. And also, you guys, be sure to check out the Presentation Guild at presentationguild.org.
Thank you for being with us for another amazing conversation. Episode show notes are available at the Presentation Podcast website, thepresentationpodcast.com. If you enjoyed this conversation, please tell the presentation people you know about the Presentation Podcast. The Presentation Podcast is produced by TLC Creative Services, Inc., and new episodes release on the first and third Tuesday of each month.